الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعما يعظكم به، إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خير الناس أنفعهم للناس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, this Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan is a season for us as mu'mineen and as believers, a season for change. It is a season for reformation. It is the season or the month in which we take advantage of the conducive environment to prepare for our akhirah, to become better human beings. Alhamdulillah, we find in the month of Ramadan, we have intensified our ibadat, our physical acts of worship. Whether it is the performance of the salah, we find there's an increase in the salah. There's an increase in the tilawat of the Quran and Majeed. There's an increase in our rujoo and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of this is extremely important, extremely necessary. We are also encouraged in the month of Ramadan to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we have to understand that the deen of Islam is a complete way of life. It is a complete package deal, if we may say. And the deen of Islam makes an effort to make every human being a human being in the true sense of the word. There was one buzruk and wali of Allah. Allah had given him some special quality, and I heard this incident from our late Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he could perceive the weaknesses in people, and he would actually see that person personified in the form of an animal. So he eventually told his friends that, listen, when you take me to the masjid, blindfold me, because I don't see human beings. Sometimes I see a lion, sometimes I see a snake. So what he was seeing was that human quality was missing from the person. That perhaps it was excessive greed. Perhaps it was a lack of mercy. Perhaps it was selfishness. And so that human quality was missing. That is why it is mentioned of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, agar kutub banna hai aur ghaus banna hai, to kahi aur jao. Lekin agar insan banna hai, to mere paas a jao. That if you want to become a big kutub and an abdal and a great buzruk, go somewhere else. But if you want to become a human being, then you come and sit in my company. And an effort was made to make the person develop those qualities that will make you a good human being. Now why is this so important? If we study the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just in a few moments we can just do a brief analysis. What was the condition of the people of Arabia? It was known as Al-Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, where there was nothing but oppression, suppression, aggression, corruption, and lack of mercy. We know that the daughters would be buried alive. That will give you a hint of the lack of mercy that was present. But Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such an effort on the hearts of the companions, on the hearts of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, that eventually that society of Madinatul Munawwara became the ideal society. A society that was filled with mutual love and respect. A society that was filled with consideration and love for one another. Support for each other. Again, in the words of Hazrat Maulana Saab, used to say that if we say Madinatul Munawwara had hypothetically 100 people living, and if there was one person going through some hardship, some challenge, some sickness, then there were 99 people there to support him, to help him, to motivate him. And on the contrary, if there was one person going through some moment of happiness, some celebration, the birth of a child, the marriage in the family, there were 99 people there to share in the happiness, to, you know, congratulate him. They too were happy. What a beautiful society this had become. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted that this society continue. Hence we find repeated advices in this regard. In developing those qualities that will make us good human beings. So whilst we, alhamdulillah, are making a lot of effort on our worship, we have to also make effort and realize the importance of huququl ibad, the rights of the creation of Allah ta'ala. This has a tremendous impact, respected elders and brothers, on how we will fare, not only in the akhirah, but in this world also. That if the person develops those qualities, that will make him a good human being, and if a society has those qualities within them, then that society becomes a society filled with love, with mutual respect, with unity. Today we speak about the lack of unity, that brothers or parents are not talking to children, brothers are not talking to brothers and sisters, family members are split. Practically every home there's some issue or the other, there's some fight or the other, there's some flame that is, you know, brewing. Few years ago, one of our students mentioned it. Maulana, the brothers got together to discuss inheritance matter, and we nephews were present. We thought, you know, let's be civil. And he said, eventually the fight broke out, and the uncles were throwing teacups at each other, fighting over wealth. This is what has happened, and this is so common. It happens in so many towns, in so many estates. Why is this happening, respected elders and brothers? This is the question. Perhaps it is that we have not realized the importance of developing these qualities within our hearts. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given an example wherein he questioned the Sahaba ikram, "Atadruna man al-muflis?" He says, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, "Do you know who is a bankrupt person?" I'm giving the gist of the hadith. A Sahaba ikram said, "Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt person is that person who has got no wealth, he's got no, you know, merchandise or no stock or goods, he's got nothing, no property." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the bankrupt person is that person who comes on the day of Qiyamah. He has got salah, he has got fasting, he has discharged his zakat. Lots of good deeds he has come with. However, this person has violated the rights of so many people. And in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he has sworn at this person, he has slandered that person, he has hit this person, he has spilled the blood of that person, he has usurped the property of that individual. And then it will be said that each of those peoples whose rights had been violated, they can go and take from his good deeds. Until eventually it is mentioned that this person's good deeds will be completely depleted. He'll have nothing. But then they will be told more people will still be coming forth. And then it will be said to them, "You hand over your sins into his account." Until eventually it is mentioned that this person will be flung into the fire of Jahannam because of the amount of sins that he has in his account. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. From this hadith we realize how important it is that we are fulfilling the rights of each person. Remember, when it comes to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah will forgive all your sins. You just turn to me, I will forgive, and I will forgive, and I will forgive. Even if your sins are more than the grains of the sand on this earth, I will forgive you. So Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim. We can feel at ease that when it comes to the rights of Allah Ta'ala, as long as we keep on making tawbah sincerely, we can secure our forgiveness. However, when it comes to the rights of our fellow human beings, respected elders and brothers and our mothers and sisters who may be listening, if we do not secure forgiveness in this world, then remember, on the day of Qiyamah, you will never be forgiven. For Allah Ta'ala has declared in the Quran Majeed that the day of Qiyamah is an extremely terrifying day. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. Allah says the day of Qiyamah is a very frightening scene. That woman who is suckling her child will abandon the child. That woman who is pregnant will abort the fetus. People will appear as if they are intoxicated, but they will not be intoxicated. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. A person will run away from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and he will run away from his parents, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The person will run away from his wife and his children. Each person will be worried about nothing but himself or herself. Hence, the person will not be prepared to part with even a single good deed. And the person will be willing to take the good deed of even his own child. So therefore, if there are rights that have not been fulfilled in this world, we can be rest assured that in the Akhirah, the person will come and take from us. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Hence it is extremely critical and important that we ensure that we are paying attention to the fulfillment of the rights of the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this of course will bring happiness and blessings within our own lives. Can you imagine a society where the ruler is ruling with justice, where the businessman is not deceiving the customer and is honest, where families have got mutual love and respect for each other, where the neighbors are fulfilling the rights of their neighbors. What a wonderful society that would become. What a wonderful community that would become. That is the benefit that we will see in this world itself, let alone the benefits that will accrue in the Akhirah. And the rewards that we will receive in the Akhirah. Once, as Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi was writing a tafsir of the Quran Majeed, and he used to dedicate a particular time in the day where he used to write this tafsir. On one particular day, his wife was going to her parents' home. So she said that, make sure that you feed the chickens. Because it was not his usual habit, he continued his writing. And he completely forgot. He himself, he says, I started writing, but nothing was coming to mind. No mazmoon or information was coming to mind. He said, I turned to Allah. I said, Ya Allah, is there some sin that I have committed because of which I am being deprived, that no thoughts are coming forward? He said, immediately I realized I had forgotten to feed the chickens. He said, I immediately got up and I fed the chickens. When I came back, subhanallah, it started flowing again. He said, I realized from this that the non-fulfillment of the rights of even the creation and the animals can be a means of depriving one from the mercies and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters, let us look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had within his life, and perhaps it can inspire us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he always fulfilled the rights of others to such an extent that he gave his word. He made sure that he fulfilled his word. There are incidents that are recorded in the books of history wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for a lengthy period of time because he had promised someone that he would meet that person on a particular time. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a title prior to even his nubuwah of Al-Amir and Al-Sadiq, the person who was honest and the person who was trustworthy. Even the non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, they knew that they could trust Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam with their valuable items and commodities, that he would never violate it in any way, and he would return it and give due to have whomsoever it is due. We find in the night of Bara'a, there are narrations wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke up at night, and he woke up in such a discreet manner, so that he does not disturb the sleep of his beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Again, consideration for the rights of his wife. He said that the best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife, and I am the best to my wife from amongst all of you. Fulfillment of the right of the wife. We studied the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with wealth in the early days. He used his wealth to free the slaves. He used his wealth to support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mission to Madinatul Munawwara. Similarly, look at Umar radiallahu anhu, study his life. It is said of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he became Amirul Mu'mineen, he would roam the streets to see what is the condition of the Muslims. If there was someone going through some hardships, he would make sure that their hardships would be fulfilled the following day. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was the one who purchased the well in Madinatul Munawwara for a large sum of money. But then he didn't even bother about receiving his money back. He then gave this money as waqf, so that the Muslims could freely use and benefit from the water of that well. So here we are talking about not only, you know, protecting oneself from causing inconvenience to the next person, but they went to the next level. That they actually benefited the next person. They made an effort to be of benefit. And this conforms to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khairun nas anfa'uhum linnas. The best amongst people is those individuals who are the most beneficial to society and to the community at large. There is a beautiful couplet in poetry. Wa khairun nas min bainil wara rajulun تقضي على يده للناس حاجات قد مات قوم وما ماتت مكارمهم وعاش قوم وهم في الناس أموات. He says that the best amongst society are those people who are beneficial to others. He says there are some people who have passed away, but their goodness still continues to flourish and benefit people to this day. You find people, mashallah, they set up, whether it is soup kitchens, whether it's relief organizations, whether it is the building of a masjid, whether it's the building of a madrasa. That person has passed away, but people are still benefiting from his goodness. And then he says, on the other hand, وَعَاشَ قَوْمًا. And there are other people who are alive, وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. But they are like dead people in the community. Nothing, no one benefits from them. It is just about, so long as I am comfortable, that's the most important thing in the whole world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We have beautiful examples in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the life of our beloved Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Now the question, respected elders and brothers, is how do we develop these qualities? Now we have understood how important it is in a society, how important it is in Islam, and how much emphasis Islam places on it. How do we develop these qualities? Or how do we, you know, become particular about fulfilling the rights of others? And we find for this, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various verses of the Quran and Majeed makes an effort or advises us to develop certain qualities. And if we will develop these qualities, it will become very easy for us to fulfill the rights of others. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions. He said that wherever you will see a dispute between two parties, the underlying cause would be pride. Pride. Hence, one of the most important qualities to develop within oneself. And this month of Ramadan is about this. The month of Ramadan is about making an effort to develop these type of qualities that can make us better human beings. MashaAllah, again, we reiterate, ibadat to apni jagah par hai, our ibadat will be in its place. And we should continue with our ibadat, but it doesn't stop there. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, rahmatullahi, he says, one time, you know, I saw a youngster in the masjid. And when I looked at his salah, I was admiring his level of devotion and concentration in the salah. And I thought to himself, ye to farishta ki tarah hai. This person is like an angel. But he said, what happened? As this youngster came out of the masjid, and he was putting his shoes on, an elderly person bumped into him who couldn't see very well. So when this person bumped into him, this youngster went into a fit of rage and started screaming at this old person, screaming at the top of his voice, insulting this old man. He says, oh, I thought this person was a farishta. He turned out to be a shaitan in the disguise of a farishta. So sometimes the person, alhamdulillah, with his ibadat, he's going very high. We know shaitan was a great abid. According to some historians, there is not a place or surface on the earth that he did not make some form of ibadat. He was a great abid, great worshipper. But what he suffered from was pride. أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. Allah says he became proud and arrogant. He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire. You created this Adam from sand. Alayhi salam. So pride entered the heart. Hence, one of the most important qualities to develop, so that it becomes easy for us to fulfill the rights of the next person, is the quality of humility. Now how do we develop this quality of humility? And how does pride enter the heart? Pride enters the heart when we really start thinking really good of ourselves. And then we go to the point where we start suffering from a superiority complex, and we start looking down upon the next person. And this pride is abounding within our communities. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, any bounty that Allah has blessed you, whether it is intelligence, whether it is wealth, whether it is all the degrees that you have on your name, whether it is all the different countries that you've visited, whether it is all the different organizations that you've been able to help, whether it is your achievements in the field of deen, or whether it's your achievements in the field of this world, Remind yourself that who was the one who blessed you with those faculties so that you could achieve what you achieved. If Allah Ta'ala didn't bless you with wealth, if Allah Ta'ala didn't give you intelligence, if Allah Ta'ala didn't give you the opportunities, would you have been able to achieve it? Ponder over the verse of the Quran Majeed, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. That whatever bounty you have, it is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is why we commence our every rakat of every salah with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ke tamam ta'arif hai jo hai, Allah hi ke liye. That all praises belong to Allah and Allah alone. That even when that person is praising you, if we walk in this masjid and we say, MashaAllah, this chandelier is so beautiful. Now if the chandelier hypothetically could speak, and if the chandelier starts becoming proud and arrogant, what would we say? Because actually the person is not praising you. The person is praising the one who designed you. Whether it's the engineer or whoever it was, that the praise is actually going to that person. So if somebody says you are very handsome, who gave you your beauty? If somebody says you are very intelligent, who gave you your intelligence? In effect, they are actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should say to yourself that this praise belongs to Allah. Allah is the one who gave me what I have. Similarly, respected elders and brothers, learn to interact and mix with others. Sometimes sitting with a poor person, that will develop this quality of humility. And try and avoid the desire for acknowledgement and praise. Now you gave to the masjid. Now all the trustees know you gave to the masjid. Now you're waiting. Who's going to thank me? And one person gave a pot to our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Maulana mentioned the story. So every time he would come, he would make sure that Maulana was in a strategic position. There were few people around. He said, Maulana, that pot I gave you, how's it? So Maulana realized that the person had given the pot because it was an expensive pot, so he wanted Maulana to acknowledge it in front of a few people. So the person was looking for some acknowledgement. So Maulana, actually what he did was he gave the pot to somebody else and he returned this person with a gift more expensive. But this is what happens. The person now contributed to the masjid. They contributed towards maybe feeding the people at the time of iftar. And I said, that khajur I gave, you'll need more. And he says it in front of a few people. The desire for acknowledgement. That see, I am giving also. And that means that the person is now feeding his ego. He's feeding that pride within himself. Learn to do things in such a manner, as it's mentioned in Hadith Sharif, that your one hand doesn't even know what the other hand gave. Just give it and forget that you even gave it. Do our actions solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't wait for any acknowledgement whatsoever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to develop these sort of qualities. Another beautiful quality to develop is making khidmat for others. Serving others. There was one person who came into the khanka, was at Tanbir Rahmatullah. He said, there's a lot of pride. So I told you, I want you to straighten the shoes of people. You straighten their shoes. Of course, it won't work for everyone. One Sheikh al-Hadith came. So he heard about it. So he started straightening the shoes. So I told him that will create more pride in you. Because people will say, Deko, you're Sheikh al-Hadith. What a humble Sheikh al-Hadith. That will create more pride in your heart. As it gave him something else. But in other words, learn to serve people in some way or the other. When you will serve others, it will humble you. Because now you have to lower yourself before that person. Similarly, learn to accept criticism. This is a common thing. We can't accept any criticism. The person says, Nasiha matkar nasiha dil mera gabrawe hai. Main samjhu usko dushman jo mujhe samjhawe hai. Says, don't advise me. When you advise me, you know, I get a palpitation of the heart. I regard that person as my enemy who advises me. In fact, positive criticism is an opportunity for growth. If the person took his dented car to the panel beater, and now the panel beater is, you know, doing a inspection, and he says, you've got a scratch here, you've got a dent here, you've got... Now you say, what's wrong with you? Why are you pointing out all the faults? Can't you see what good tires I got? Can't you see what a beautiful windscreen I had? Stop pointing out all the faults. So now how will that car ever be repaired? In fact, we'll get excited when the panel beater says, what about this scratch here? What? Because we want the car to come out in showroom condition. Learn to be open to criticism. If somebody criticizes you in a positive way, it's an opportunity for growth. Similarly, learn to speak less and listen more. Learn to listen to others. It shouldn't be that in the conversation, yes, we may be the uncle. Yes, we may be the grandfather. But must we always have the final say? How about listening to the nephew? How about listening to your grandson? Let them also speak. It shows that you acknowledge them. It shows that you are a humble person. Similarly, think about death. What will be your end result? One person bumped into one buzruk. He didn't know. So he got very angry with him. He says, you know, janta ho main kaun? You know who I am? He says, yes. I know what's your past and what's your present and what's your future. As far as your past is concerned, then you are a drop of filthy fluid. And as far as your present is concerned, that at the moment you have got so many kilos of stool and so many liters of urine in your body. And as far as your future is concerned, you will be a rotting corpse. So that's the reality. Each and every one of us will have to go into the grave. And that will be the end result. No matter what accolades you have. So ponder over death. And then another beautiful quality to develop or trait or habit to bring in is spend time in the company of humble people. Company has got an impact. There was one person who had great amount of pride. One of the buzuruks told him, go to a certain bookshop, you just sit there all day. He didn't know what's the benefit. He told him afterwards that person in the bookshop has got a lot of humility. Sitting in his company, you will develop humility. So find the company of humble people and sit in their company, you will develop humility. Of course, we cannot forget abundant dua, that Allah bless me with the quality of humility. There's a beautiful hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that person who is gentle, who is humble, who is down to earth and near to people, then he is haram for the fire of Jahannam, and the fire of Jahannam is haram for that person. So these are beautiful qualities that we can develop. When a person is humble, it will not be hard for that person to fulfill the rights of the next person. Similarly, developing the quality of honesty. Being honest. The person now tries to manipulate and could take advantage of people and hide the truth. hide the fact that this is the right of that person and this is the right of that person. Similarly, developing the quality of empathy, the quality of responsibility, and most importantly, the quality of forgiving others. And we'll terminate on this. This month of Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. We want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there will be others who will be violating our rights, and we want to, there's a grudge in the heart. We are upset with that person. But we have to learn to forgive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at, study the life of Rasulullah and see what harm people caused to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What pain they caused him. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave them. As a Shaykh Zakariya Ahmadullah, he says one time, one of my attendants, he came with a tray of tea, and as he was coming, he dropped it. I got very upset with him. So I scolded him, reprimanded him. So he said, Hazrat, make maaf, forgive me. So he said, how many times will I keep on making you maaf? He says, my uncle was standing nearby. My uncle said, oh Zakariya, oh Maulvi Zakariya, forgive him as many times as you would love Allah to forgive you. Forgive him as many times as you would love Allah Ta'ala to forgive you. We are always in need of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to forgive and move on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to develop these qualities. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to fulfill the rights of our fellow human beings. And Allah make it such that we are not indebted to any person on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك O Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, most forgiving, loving, caring Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah, our major sins, minor sins, those sins which we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. You have blessed us with this Mubarak month of Ramadan, an opportunity for change, Ya Allah, an opportunity for growth, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah, hame musaffa, mujalla, muzakka dil ata farma. O Allah, make us of your pious servants, Ya Allah. Bless us with the qualities of the pious, Ya Allah. Make us true human beings, Ya Allah. O Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of family members, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you. O Allah, fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, whatever challenge, hardship, difficulty, sickness they are going through. Alleviate it, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله